attention to it. You should have got it with your bulletin and just bless our school Sunday, which is kind of a great idea. It's just from Moms in Prayer, just kind of emphasis, and on the sheet, front sheet, just kind of three areas, and now I just want to pray briefly through those, and then on the back are just specific ways that you can pray, put names in those prayers for schools. Ironically, there's a lot of people here that work in the schools. What a great influence. In fact, I think Orlando and Marisa work in the schools up in Salem, Kaiser. So anyways, let's just join with me. Lord, we just pray for our students that are believers. Lord, there is nothing more powerful than a witness. Lord, we just pray that you give them confidence in their faith. Lord, that they would stand for righteousness. Lord, that they would help those and befriend those people who nobody wants to befriend, because that's who you are, Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would grow their faith as they obey you, and as they walk on their campus, Lord, they'd be great instigators of your kingdom. Lord, that they would be sharers and showing your love, Lord, on their campuses. Lord, we pray for unity, Lord, in our schools, Lord, that there are standards that you set of righteousness, Lord, that administrators, that teachers, that volunteers, that office workers, teachers and aides in classrooms, Lord, and in the kitchen and on the campus, Lord, that there would be a reflection of who you are, God, and your standards for righteousness that lead to life. Lord, there is a voice in this world that says it doesn't matter, but it does. Lord, we just pray that you would bring a unity, Lord, for what you designed, what is good and right. Lord, we pray for safety. Lord, in this world that is so broken that the world doesn't have answers. Lord, it's no wonder, Lord, just in the hopelessness and the, you know, what matters, Lord. If I don't matter, nobody else matters. Lord, we pray for safety, Lord. Those voices, Lord, we pray against any satanic, any voices that would come to any students, say that they don't matter, say that things are hopeless, say that people hate them, cause them to murder people either by physical action or by verbal action or attitude. Lord, we pray, God, that you would protect our schools and protect our students, that they would be places of life and future, Lord, for our communities. Lord, we thank you, Father. Would you bless our schools? Would you bless our teachers? Lord, would you bless our students? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to open up the Word this morning. We have been doing a series that I have called Promised Land Living out of the great book of Deuteronomy. Yeah! Old Testament, New Testament. You know my heart about that God's Word is good no matter where you find it. Whether you find it in the Old Testament, which is the front part of the Bible, or the New Testament, which is the second part of the Bible. You know, Jackie's been working with the kids in Sunday school, and Bob Wilson's been great getting these adventure Bibles, and they have, you know, some pictures in them and some colorful nonsense, just black and white, maybe some blue printing, just things that are more interesting, and saying, okay, now I want you to turn to Romans, you know, and some of them are really smart. They'll go to the index and find it. Other ones will turn to every chapter from the beginning looking for Romans and say, no, first of all, New Testament or Old Testament? New Testament. Okay, cut your Bible in half and go to the last part. You'll get closer that way. But it's just trying to build kids that are literate in the Word, that they know that if you say that this is the Word of God and you never use it, it's not going to impact your life. It's not going to impact your attitude about things. And so it starts at a young age. If we can teach our kids, if we could example it. You know, I'm a little jealous, but my two boys call each other, Skype each other every Friday, and have Bible study together. I did it with them in high school, and we would meet for coffee with their friends or whoever would come. We'd meet down for coffee, but they continued it in college, and they continue today. And I have to admit, confess my softness. I don't know. I was in Redmond visiting my son. And he said, hey, Dad, you know, Cam and I are going to meet in the morning. And I said, what time? And he said, 5:30. And I said, oh, that's kind of early. And I flaked out. And the next day, my son said, "Hey, Dad, how come you didn't join us?" And I said, I guess I didn't get asked. He said, "Yeah, you did. Cole told you what time it was, and you said it was too early." I said, "You're right, I did say that." And so I just think it was, if I had a second chance, I'd get up at 5:30, okay? Don't judge me. But I had messed up. You know, just like that's what it takes, that priority and shifting your schedule and saying, "God, you're important. You're really important. Because you help feed me. You help give me encouragement." And sometimes it's specific ideas, and other times it's just an attitude for the day. So as we read today, as we look at Deuteronomy, we want to be touched by God's Spirit. God, would you touch our hearts as we read today? Lord, the same Holy Spirit that works in music, Lord, is the same Holy Spirit that works as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can turn in your Bible app or in your old-fashioned digital copy or analog copy, or up on the screen as we look at the end of Deuteronomy 12, verse 20. "When the Lord your God has enlarged your territory, as he promised you, and you crave meat and say, 'I would like some meat,' then you may eat as much as you want. If the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far away from you, you may slaughter animals from the herds and flocks the Lord has given you, as I have commanded you. And in your own towns, you may eat as much of them as you want. Eat them as you would a gazelle or deer. Both the ceremonially clean, unclean and the clean may eat. But be sure you do not eat the blood, because the blood is the life, and you must not eat the life with the meat. You must not eat the blood. Pour it out on the ground like water. Do not eat it, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord." Let me talk about just the context, and I know this is kind of weird. You know, some of this stuff are like, this is the Old Testament. It's like, what do you mean? You know, blood, pouring the blood out and sacrificing animals. But really, it's what he's talking about. There's a gift that God has. Because if you're reminded, they're on the east side of the Jordan, getting ready to inhabit the promised land. And Moses is giving his last series message saying, "Hey, I'm going to leave you guys. I don't get to go with you, but I want you to take what I'm telling you with you. And I want you to take it serious." And so he's looking ahead. He says, God is going to bless you with this place. He's not only going to bless you with the place, but he's going to bless you with prosperity. And when your cattle and your herds go in, and he has it named, they don't know anything about Jerusalem. We look back and say, oh, we know the place that God's going to put his name. It's Jerusalem. And as believers today, we know that he puts his name on us, that we are the temple of the Lord. But you look at that place, he says, man, when you get hungry for beef and lamb, he goes, go ahead and slaughter them. If it's too far for you to go to the Lord's temple, that's okay. You can eat it in your towns. But if you're close, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to go to the place I'm going to put my name, where I'm going to show you. Because God's blessing is meant to be enjoyed in the company of God. Because if we enjoy God's blessing, did you know that's worship? As I enjoy my vacation or I enjoy a good dinner, I'm enjoying God's blessing. And that can be worship. To eat a good meal and enjoy friendship. God, I thank you for friendship. I thank you for football games. Riley won his game yesterday. You go, Riley. You know, just those things we get pumped up about. Those things God meant that we can enjoy his blessing. We can enjoy his prosperity. But if it's too far away, it's okay for you to enjoy in your town. As God isn't trying to withhold and kind of set this bar that we can't reasonably meet, God wants us to keep our attention on him, to be able to enjoy those places. And he talks about, you know, the blood from the very beginning. They recognized that there was life in blood. You know, I think about the old Civil War. What did they do? It was common. When people got sick, what did they do? They'd let your blood, they called it, bleed you. Because they knew that there's something sick in you, so yeah, let's get this out of you. Amazing thing is that most people died. Why? Because there's life in blood. There's life in blood. And because life is sacred, consuming blood is really an attack on life itself. Let's go on. It's verse 26. But take your consecrated things and whatever you have vowed to give and go to the place the Lord will choose. Present your burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord your God, both the meat and the blood. The blood of your sacrifices must be poured beside the altar of the Lord your God, but you may eat the meat. Be careful to obey all these regulations I'm giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord your God. Make sure that you take your offerings in those things dedicated to the Lord, to the sanctuary. Those I don't want you to enjoy with your family. I want you to take them into the temple. I want the Levites to enjoy the benefit of it. It's interesting. Talk about all that meat and stuff. It did supply the needs of the Levites, but it also supplied the people as they came. They got to worship and celebrate with God's best, because it says, bring your best sheep, bring your best bulls, sacrifice those. They got to enjoy those as well as they came and presented themselves. And talk about ceremonially clean and unclean. To be ceremonially unclean is to have touched something that was dead. That made you ceremonially unclean. If you think about it, if you're killing an animal for sacrifice, that would make you unclean. And so it's something that God covered and said, life is so important. I want you to be right with God. When you come into my presence, I want you to deal with, your brother. We look in Paul as he talks about communion and says, you need to deal with your sin. You need to deal with your relationships so that you're right before me. As you come into my presence, I want you to deal with stuff so that we can enjoy what I've given you. Doing what God asks keeps our heart aligned towards what's good and right. It keeps us focused on those right things. Sometimes we don't understand, just like your kids. Why do I have to do that? Why? Trust me. Just do what I say. It'll work out for you. I remember my kids, they wouldn't ever clean their room, one in particular. And you would go into the room and my wife would say, hey, grab your dirty clothes. I don't know which ones they are. Because there's clean clothes and dirty clothes. Just put them all in the dirty clothes hamper. We'll wash them all. But amazing thing happens when you get your clean clothes and you put them in the drawer, you know where your clean clothes are. He may say, I don't know, why are you making me clean my room? It's just going to get dirty again. Why do I have to make my bed? I'm just going to sleep in it tonight. Well, it's so that you can find your homework that's underneath the covers, so you can put it in your backpack and take it to school with you. Verse 29. The Lord your God will cut off before you the nations you are about to invade and dispossess. But when you have driven them out and settled in their land, and after they have been destroyed before you, be careful not to be ensnared by inquiring about their God, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? We will do the same. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in fires as sacrifices to their God. See that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it. We talk about God judging the nations. He's kicking them out of the land so that you can possess it. And we talked before, is because if they're not careful to destroy all those idols and all those high places, they're going to end up in the same place that the nations are getting kicked out of. They need to take care of how they're living, take care of those things that they need to walk away from. Giving space to what doesn't honor God is to honor what God hates. And everything that God hates, the Canaanites' worship was all about. Even as detestable as that is, sacrificing their children to their gods in fire. Can you think of anything more horrible? We do the same thing today, don't we? Those things that we say, it's not we are all. If every single one of us is capable of incredibly detestable things. If it isn't for the Lord to come and change our hearts and change our focus, every single one of us is, as awful as that is, the most detestable thing we are capable of. That's what salvation is about. It says redeeming us, taking that thing, that broken thing, that sinful thing, and making it new so that we don't walk in that way. And it's weird that the longer you, more you recognize it, the worse that looks. When you're over here and you're in it, it doesn't feel good, but it's not that bad. As you begin to walk in righteousness, you're going, wow, I was so messed up. I can't tell you how many times I still have to repent about things that I've done, because a thought comes to me and say, God, would you forgive me? I can't believe I treated the person that way. I wasn't thinking it back then. I was thinking about who? Me. Me and me alone. God, would you forgive us? As we walk in righteousness, we begin to recognize things that we haven't seen before. Worshiping God only includes good things. Matthew 7:13. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter it through it. There's lots of different ways that we can go sideways. And it's really easy. It's really easy. Just listen to your heart. There's no such thing as choosing to sin a little. To choose a little sin really is to deny everything about God. We deny that God is the only source for what is good. And I like the saying, some of us have heard it before, but sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, and will make you pay more than, will cost you more than you want to pay. It's dangerous. You say, I just want to go check this out. I'm not going to go do that. I just want to go check it out and see what those people do. I just want to go in a bar and see what happens. I just want to go where people are doing drugs. I'm not going to do drugs, but I just want to know how they're doing it. It's like, are they really sticking needles in them? How do they smoke that anyways? I just want to see. I don't want to do it. Be careful not to add or take away from what God has told you. Moses goes on in chapter 13, and he kind of expands and gets a little more specific. If a prophet or the one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you haven't known, let us worship them. You must not listen to the words of the prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him and hold fast to him. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death for inciting rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. That prophet or dreamer tried to turn you from the way the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge that evil thing from among you. There's going to be some voices that's going to say, hey, you know what? Come take a look. There's some amazing things that God is doing. It's really what kind of the theme that I'm looking at is this prophet is inciting rebellion or treason. Say, this is who you're loyal to and who I say I'm loyal to, but I'm going to invite you to give your loyalty to somebody else. Guard against treason. I'm going to call this the voice of spirituality. Let's say someone comes to you and tells you the future by dreams and even does a miracle, but wants you to worship other gods. That's your cue. Don't listen to them, because they're trying to turn you from falling from the Lord. Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. But even if Paul's talking to the church in Galatia, says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than one you've accepted, let them be under God's curse. It's it's so serious that you need to kill anything that invites you to worship something else other than God. There's a couple of crazy things here to consider. As Moses talks about, there will be people who have the power of following God. They will have the power. Their words will sound good. They will have even signs and wonders, but they're leading people away from God. That's kind of weird. As we always tend to think that only good things can be done with God's power. But on the outside, right, we can look on the outside of things and they look good, but on the inside, they're messed up, right? They're tombs, rotten, stinking things on the inside. Here's the second thing that's kind of interesting, is Moses says the reason why he's allowing these voices, this power, is why? He says, I want to test your love for me. Will you, do you love me with all your heart and with all your soul? Will you practice what God is laying down? Will you serve Him? Will you hang out with Him? Will you hang on to Him with all you've got? Or can you be lured away from your love for God? Do you love me more than prophetic words, signs, and wonders? He goes on for a second voice with verse 6. If your very own brother, your son or daughter, or the wife you love, or your closest friend secretly entices you, saying, let us go and worship at other gods, gods that neither you nor your ancestor have known, gods of the peoples around you, whether near or far, from one end of the land to the other, do not yield to them or listen to them. Show them no pity. Do not spare them or shield them. You must certainly put them to death. Your hand must be the first in putting them to death, and then the hands of all the people. Stone them to death because they tried to turn you away from the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Then all Israel will hear and be afraid, and no one among you will do such an evil thing again. Guard against treason. They call a voice of family and friends. It's interesting that the people that are the closest to us are the most dangerous. We're the most vulnerable with those people that we love and care about the most. Moses talks about the most personal relationships, right? They talk about your brother, your blood brother. It wasn't just half brother, your full brother. Same mom, same dad. Your son or daughter. Responsible, really, your future legacy is landed on them. What happens to your family legacy? The responsibility. The wife you love. Your most intimate and affectionate relationship. Your closest friend. In their attempt to entice you away from God, they don't announce it in public. Think about all the people that try to get you to do something. They pull you aside behind closed doors. They lower their voice. Why? Because it's something they know that is not right. It's something that they know that it needs to be done in secret. It's something they know that needs to be hidden from the light. Moses calls his own congregation to kill any influence that entices them to rebel against God. Don't you think it seems a little drastic? I mean, really, shouldn't you just skip, hey, don't do that anymore? But think about treason. You know, we talk about treason. People get punished when we commit treason. They say, no, that's a capital offense to commit treason. Although, you know, nowadays, capital offense, you know, it is a terror. It is difficult to take somebody's life for something that they've done wrong, to end that opportunity for them to repent. But the reality is you come to the seriousness that the Old Testament is teaching is that anything that influences us to be drawn away from God really needs to be put to death. The things that we need to get rid of, whether it's a job or friendship, and even in that closest relationship. You know, you can't think of a brother, of your children, of a spouse that's drawing you away from God. And in that sense, we don't put them to death, but we put them, their influence, to death. So I'm not going to hang out with you anymore because your priorities are leading me away from God. I love you and you're really funny and I like being around you, but what I end up doing or thinking doesn't honor God. I really like you and I want to hang out with you, but if that's where you're trying to lead and that's where you're going, that's the end of my friendship with you. When you choose to get right with God and you fall off to God, my door is open to you. Those things that we have to walk away from. It's interesting, when Jesus had a close friend, you know, Peter, James, and John, what did Jesus say to Peter when Peter told Jesus he didn't need to go to the cross? What did he say? He said, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." How's that for friendship, huh? Dude, you are Satan. Get behind me. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Jesus got it. You know what's crazy about this? This happens after Jesus says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter just got done saying that. And Jesus says, "Man, you didn't get that on your own, Peter." And all the disciples says, "Yeah, that's for sure. That came from God." But Peter exercised and obeyed what God gave him. And just a little bit later, he said, "Hey, Jesus, man, you don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to die. What are you? That's crazy talk." Jesus says, "Hey, you don't have the things in mind that God does. You don't understand what's going on here." How many Christian marriages would be saved if a husband or wife would put to death every voice that entices them to worship another God? Do you love me more than your family and friends? Verse 12, he gives the third illustration. If you hear it said that in one of your towns the Lord your God is giving you to live in, that troublemakers have risen among you and have led the people of their town astray, saying, "Let us go worship other gods, gods you have not known," then you must inquire, probe, and investigate it thoroughly. And if it is true and has been proved that it is a detestable thing that has been done among you, you must certainly put to the sword all who live in that town. You must destroy it completely, both its people and its livestock. Completely burn the town and all of its plunder as a whole burnt offering to the Lord your God. Then the Lord will turn from his fierce anger, will show mercy, and will have compassion on you. He will increase your numbers as he promised an oath to your ancestor, because you obey the Lord your God by keeping all his commands that I'm giving you today and doing what is right in his eyes. Guard against treason. And this was a hard one for me. As you know, as amazing as an outlying pastor as I am, you know, I think about, what is this? I call it the voice of community. You know, guard against it. But I thought about, you know, really it could be the voice of culture. Could be the voice of the world. That Moses says, go check it out. Don't just take somebody else's word for it. Go, if somebody heard that they're not living, you know, that they're a believer and now they're not following after the Lord, go and check it out. Go ask some questions. Investigate it thoroughly. Ask some thorough questions. Find out. If it turns out to be true, get rid of everything. And in Moses' day, person, animal, all their possessions, walk away. Don't try to salvage anything. You know, isn't that what we try to do? We're like, oh, I don't want to get rid of all this stuff. You know, you guess some of you have garage sales, right? Those are so dangerous. Don't do it when your kids are around. Right? We found out that we got all these toys that we were getting rid of because they're old and dirty and whatever. And then we'd stick them out, and our kids would like, no, this is my favorite toy. You know, it's like, and kids can cry like none other and make you feel terrible, you know. But it's like, those things, if it's like, no, this is old. This doesn't belong here anymore. We need to step away from this. God's got something new and better for us. Let's trust His blessing, trust His giftedness to us. When we get rid of the things that don't honor God, you're honoring God. You show that you love Him. You show that you honor Him by saying, you know what, God, You are more important. If this is going to be dangerous, I'm walking away from it. I can feel the tug of my heart. I have to be careful about what, how much time I spend on Amazon. Because there's a lot of cool stuff out there. You know, and sometimes I'm procrastinating and should be doing something else, and I'll get on there. Other times I'm really need to find something. And there's always a newer and better, right? It's like, I don't need this. I don't need it. I'm not going to have, you know, every time they ask me, do you want to share your data of where you're, you know, what things you're shopping for? Because as some of you discovered what shows up on your email. All the ads for the stuff you've been looking at with the better price. The later model. I start to say, nope, I don't want you sending me your stuff where you have the option to do that. If you take seriously the dangers of those enticing voices, when you and I do that, we're choosing to love God. Love God with all your heart and soul. We're thinking, oh, that's kind of mundane. But it's true. It's when we say this stuff or these priorities, God, You're more important, that honors Him. It matters. My wife doesn't ask to go out to dinner very often. And she always kids me and says, you know what, you never have to ask me if I want to go out to eat. Just assume the answer is yes. But it's funny, as Jackie and I have gotten empty nest, we love being home. And so we kind of both laugh. And it's like, hey, you want to go out to eat? No, I just want to go home. But she said something to me the other day. She said, actually just Friday, she said, hey, why don't you meet me in Albany after work, and I got to work late, and we'll go out to eat. And I was amazed because she never says that. And so I just like planned, and I said, okay, I got to get this stuff done, and I'm going to go over there. And so I was getting ready to get, I said, okay, I'll come and finish this other stuff later. And I texted her, and she said, oh, I totally forgot I said that to you. I'm on Highway 34. I'm almost home. But I felt really good on two accounts. One is I valued her. I said, I planned this. I was excited about it. But I was really glad that she was almost home. I was like, whew. You know, I was like, God is gracious. You can't plan that. It's like, I'm going to say yes because God will figure out a way to get me out of this. I was like, no, and I felt really good because it communicated to Jackie. I listened to her, which, by the way, that's just a slight miracle right there. And I remembered to respond and say, I love you. You know, because God looks at our heart and you say, but I did such a lousy job at that. God doesn't care. He just wants us to give Him our attention. Give Him our focus of our day, our priorities. And what does He promise? He says, when you do that, I will show you mercy. I am not going to give you what your sinfulness deserves. How many guys want mercy? Because you know what? Every single one of us deserves some serious time in Babylon. Every one of us deserve to get kicked out of the promised land. And God says, no, if you love me, I'm going to show you mercy. Just like with your kids. If you know that their intention is to do the right thing and they just were stupid for a moment, you have mercy on them. Say, what do you think about that? That was really dumb. I won't do that again. Okay, I love you. Let's move on. God does the same thing with us. He not only will show us mercy, he'll have compassion on us. He'll see the difficulty of our situation and care about us, even though we're knuckleheads. You know I struggle with that. Sometimes we have this saying, it's like, you made your bed, now you got to sleep in it. Not that you've ever thought that or said that. That's not God's compassion. If anybody has a right to say that, it's God. It's like, dude, you got into this mess. I told you not to do it, and now you did it. Guess what happened? You discovered what I said was true. In that moment that we turn our hearts to him, in that moment we repent, in that moment we seek him out, he says, I'm going to have compassion on you. And he says, I'm going to increase your numbers. Think about that. None of that's deserved. I'm going to increase your numbers. I will multiply your dominion. I will bless your influence. Do you love me more than your neighbor, more than the world, more than culture around you? As I was studying, I found it so interesting. Old Testament writer Job really had a handle on the enticement of treason. When at the end of Job, he writes, if I put my trust in gold or said to pure gold, you are my security. Think about this, you 401k people. You count the years to retirement, Social Security people. If I have rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortune my hands have gained, if I have regarded the sun as in its radiance, or the moon moving in splendor, those of you who hunt and love nature, and that's where you say your sanctuary is, so that my heart was secretly enticed, and my hand offered them a kiss of homage, then these also would be sins to be judged, for I would have been unfaithful to God on high. They say that Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. Job, who God looked down and allowed Satan to do some terrible things to, and yet he didn't sin. And I believe that we see his heart, why that is. Because of all these things that he didn't understand, just like we talked earlier in worship, it's like these hard things, the fire comes. It's not for our demise. It's for our good. What do you need to put to death this morning? What is it that's enticing you to treason, to turn your hearts away from God? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much that you are a God of mercy. You're a God of compassion. You're a God of restoration. You're a God of fulfillment. You're true. You're righteous. You're empowering. You're life-giving. But that's the God we want to serve. We don't want to worship the God of money, the God of convenience, the God of what feels good, the God of culture. But we want to worship the one and only true God. Lord, so that those blessings that we have don't become our idols, but become things that we can celebrate because they came from you. it's you. It says in your quiet mind or with your lips, those things that you need to put to death. If you put them in the town square of your mind, and maybe it'll be a time this week that you get to put it in a goodwill pile, or needs to go into the trash can, or maybe it needs to go into the fire pit, so that nobody else is influenced by those things. Would you do that? Because when you and I do that, God will show you mercy. God will show you compassion. And God will increase your territory. God will increase your influence. God will increase your blessing on your soul and in the relationships in your that you have. As we close and